The wicked is a ransom for the righteous, and the treacherous is in the place of the upright. Proverbs 21:18. Good morning. I hope that you all are having a beautiful, wonderful week. We have so much glorious Bravo content, reality television, documentary content. Hey, Natalia Grace, looking at you. To discuss and think about and be here for. And I thought I would open with this wonderful Bible verse about treachery, because that is really the vibe of this week's Salt Lake City finale. And in a minute, you will be hearing me talk with my guest, Donnie Hadfield of I Am the Cute One podcast. And don't worry, I screw that up immediately, but I fix it in the end. And I had to say something before it started and just let you guys know what a brilliant piece of television it was. And I see, and we have a whole section dedicated to the haters, okay? To the people who had feedback that was a little interesting or off-putting for me. Also, I'm playing. Like, I'm just joking. I know that I come on here and talk shit. That's my whole purpose. So if I say anything that's even slightly like you're like, oh, is she talking to me? I'm not, girl. Don't worry. I had too much fun with this episode and I love having Donnie on anyway. But I do want to say, in seriousness, I think that if you went into this episode genuinely expecting something that would justify the dramatics, you probably were disappointed. But if you went into this episode hoping for a show, for a presentation, for a Nicole Kidman heartache feels good in a place like this ass experience, you got it. You got that. Also, in this episode, I want to say that I gave the producers that were in the background at one point, I gave them fake names, but then I listened to the Reality Bites podcast last night after we recorded, and actually that woman's name is, well, I don't know what the people that were in the background, I don't know specifically who they were, but the executive producer, her name is Lori Gordon, and I learned on Reality Bites podcast, which if you guys haven't listened, it's just truly, especially when they do Ask Me Anythings and Q&As and deep dives into the producer side of things. It's so fascinating. Anyway, they were explaining that Lori Gordon is actually used to be a post-production editor and now producer. And for this season of Salt Lake City, she was in the field producing and editing. So she kind of which I think is not the norm. So you have people that produce it in the moment and then the editors go back. And that's how we get a lot of funny content sometimes. But I think that it was really cohesive in this instance. And so shout out to Lori Gordon. Shout out to everyone who helped make this season of Salt Lake City possible, because I really didn't have hope going into it. I thought, and I know some people didn't think it was that bad, but I thought last season of Salt Lake City was so trash. I've never been so disappointed in a show before in my life. I was so pleased with this season. I cannot wait to just go back and rewatch it. We're getting a bit of a nor'easter this weekend, so maybe that's what I'll do. I'll go back and rewatch this season because it was just so good. And I want to say this. I think I've already said it, but Potomac. This season of Salt Lake City gives me hope for Potomac. I'm checked out of Potomac. I'm also checked out of Beverly Hills, by the way. No Beverly Hills recap. I'm not promoting that shit. I've seen some of what goes on that. I'm not doing it. All right, not this week. Maybe I can come back next week, but I'm not playing with them this week because Dorit needs to get her shit together. Anyway, this is not a place for hate. This is a place for fun and laughter and excitement, and that is everything that me and Donnie are about to bring to you. We don't fully recap the episode. I couldn't help myself. I had to get into some specifics. We talk about our unsolved mysteries from the episode, the reactions, our reactions. We talk about how it felt. We talk about our favorite underrated moments in the episode. This is so much fun, you guys. Thank you. And thanks to everyone who has put up for the past month with my goofy ass intro, talking about buy me a coffee, buy me a holiday drink, Cash App, all of that. I will be still trying to do some sort of thing like that, but you don't have to listen to that intro anymore. So you're very welcome. All right, guys. I cannot wait for you to listen. I love you, and I will talk to you in a minute. Bye bye. Wind up your waist now. Wind up your waist. Wind up your waist now. Wind up your waist. Hello, hello, hello. This is Who the Fuck Knows with Emily Rose. I'm Emily Rose, and I have once again one of my favorite guests and yours, Donnie of the We Are the Cute One podcast.
That's me. Hey.
Hey, Donnie. Did I say that wrong?
I am the cute one, but it's okay.
I am the cute one, and I'm a patron. If you feel bad for how I just fucked that up, then you guys should all be patrons, too. So go follow them on Patreon. Donnie is here with me today to discuss what can only be talked about as groundbreaking television. And Donnie, I don't know if you know this, but the last time you were here was almost exactly a year ago, and we were discussing season one of Traitors. And isn't that a fitting like theme for us here today?
Apparently, yes, because I won't rest until Monica is on Traitors season three.
Thank you so much. Someone was saying something about House of Villains, and I was like, let's. She's a little more, she can do better than that. She can do better than that. And did
she can.
What, two or three of your predictions for who you wanted to be on Traitors season two came true, right?
They did. I'm not calling myself a casting genius, but maybe I am.
I will. I will.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So, Donnie, I've already spoken with you about this, but by this point, I think that most of us have, if you're like me, consumed every logical possible recap, instant reaction to Tuesday night's Real Housewives of Salt Lake City finale. So I'm not going to recap it with you, but we do have some, I do have some questions, some things that I want to get into. But perfect. Before we do that, I just want to ask you, did it live up to your expectations? Did this finale, what did you go in expecting and did it live up to that?
1,000,000%, it lived up to my expectations. I've watched it 3 times already.
Yes, me
during,
too.
During my first watch, I rolled around on the floor. I was eating dinner, so I had to put that down for a second because I could only do one thing at a time. And I was giving all my attention to physically watching the screen. I couldn't eat. I couldn't pick up a drink, nothing.
Right. Yeah, I also have watched it 3 times. I don't know that I don't know if that I knew what to expect, but the level of drama and intrigue and investment that I had, I was not expecting to have. I don't know about you.
So many times I feel like Bravo does wonderful jobs with their trailers where we're like, oh my God, this is going to be the greatest episode of all time. And then it's not. They're like fighting over who's sitting where at a birthday party or something. So for this to actually be as good as the trailers we received, it shook me to my core, Emily.
I have to agree with you, Donnie. And like I said, the big stuff, the big points, they've already been gone over. Basically, the women come to this Bermuda trip. It's the last day. And Heather gets some news just randomly that she didn't have before. And she brings the OGs of Salt Lake City together to, I guess, the only thing I can think of is plot this dinner to take down or expose Monica. And the way that it unfolded, the storytelling in this episode of television was beyond. It was really beyond. So instead of hitting on the bigger things, I want to get right into, did you have a favorite underrated moment? Because we'll get to the response to everything later. But did you have a favorite moment that maybe you haven't heard a lot of people talking about?
So I feel like the first half of the episode is just not being talked about at all. Because once we get to that beach scene and the Bermuda Triangle dinner, that's where the meat is in this episode.
Right.
So in the first half, though, there are 2 things that I want to talk about. One is Meredith's outfit when they're riding those ATVs or whatever they're riding.
The double-breasted like a blazer.
Yeah. Yeah. So that Meredith is one of a kind. And she never continues to surprise me. This outfit while riding these bikes was a surprise. She does. And then my other favorite thing in the first half of the episode, and this is being talked about a little bit, but it's still underrated compared to everything else, is when Heather forgot, quotes, to bring that credit card to buy perfume, and she made Monica wear it. I got chills just talking about it right now. Yeah. She knew what she was doing.
Had to, because when you, like, when it happens the first time, you're like, meh. But once you're on rewatch number three and mm-hmm. you're watching this woman and her facial expression, she deadass looks straight at the camera. Uh-huh. You can see her look at a producer when it looks like it's going to get declined. And then again, when Monica says, oh, you girls are like, oh, that's a broke bitch, blah, blah, blah. Well, then Heather looks exactly at someone and like raises her eyebrows. I was like, girl, shady girl.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. My underrated moments also in line with what you were saying about Meredith, because I was so furiously tweeting. I didn't catch that Meredith doesn't drive. So I didn't know that. So yeah. I was like, she shouldn't be driving, because
right.
I'm not allegedly, you know, this is just based on observation. If you're pilled the fuck out and wasted for 3 days straight, you uh-huh. shouldn't be driving. So I was concerned for her safety as well as her fashion emergency. And then the other part, which I guess when I was thinking about this episode, I guess it has been talked about more now, but not enough for my liking. The hilarity and chaos that went on when they're at the Bermuda Triangle dinner and you see Lisa stand up. And in the background, you see like Kevin and Anne like run to the door. And I don't know if that's their names. That's what I'm calling them in my head. Kevin and Anne. Okay. And
so I was the like, how do you know their names?
The producers, Kevin and Anne. Uh-huh. They're in the background and you see one like sliding over to the sliding door. And then you see the lady following him and they're like talking and they're like really very chaotic. And I was like, this is a great moment for them. I'm so happy that they got to experience this.
When they slid that sliding door and they went back inside, how giddy do you think? If it was me and you as the producers, I would just grab your elbows and shake. Like, we know we have good TV on our hands.
I don't know that I would even really stay employed past that point. Like, probably have a hard time not just pulling up a chair to the yeah. dinner, stealing the chair that Whitney didn't want. And just... tell me more.
Uh-huh.
That was it was great. So not talked about enough, but certainly honorable mentions.
Yes.
Now, when, like I said, I was tweeting furiously, as no offense, were you? And we were tweeting each other. We were. And I just need to talk a little bit about some of the responses of it all and some of the things that people are saying, because I really don't feel like this was what Monica did, which if you've listened this far and you don't already know, like, what are you doing? But she helps run an Instagram account called Reality Von Tees. And it basically was, from everything that I've seen, primarily exposing Jen Shah, right?
Yeah.
Exposing the way that she was speaking to her employees, exposing her double, like, fraudulent ass life. I think that account also helped expose that she was using a rental, like her house wasn't the house that we saw on the uh-huh. show. I think that was an account that did that. And then truly, some of the other women were genuinely collateral damage. Like, because you're talking about Salt Lake City, other women get brought up and
right.
Yeah, you're not going to, like, I don't know. It just didn't seem like an attack. You know what I'm saying? It didn't feel like yeah. an attack to me. People were divided. Some of us were in hysterics in one way, as you mentioned, maybe rolling on the floor. Perhaps I'm crying. Perhaps I'm screaming in real life.
But yeah.
Other people were hysterically angry. And I just wanted to know, what were some of the responses that you've seen on social media in that moment and maybe in the past couple of days that you agree or disagree with?
So I'll start with disagree first so that I can get my bad mood out of the way. There are a lot of people that are like tagging Andy and demand she be fired and like tagging, so stupid, tagging Heather and tell her to get the FBI involved so that...
I have not seen that.
Oh my God. I had to block this person. I was like, I can't. You're raising my blood pressure. Tell her to get the FBI involved because Monica should be in jail right now. Like, for what?
I'm so confused. I've seen scary. People keep saying it's actually scary, actually. And I'm like, have you been scared before? Like, have you, like, in your life, like, have you been in a truly, like, scary situation? Because, like, I don't know what Monica did. Is I work with high schoolers, and they make up fake-ass accounts with our school's name in them to talk shit about other people all the time. And I am not afraid of them. So... I just don't. And they, by the way, they expose a lot more about these other little kids in the high school than Monica did.
Yeah.
Or about any of the other ladies. So the scary thing, and like, you, it's very condescending. You guys creeped out. Like, it's actually kind of alarming that so many people are like, we stan Monica. I'm like, are you alarmed? That's wow. You've lived quite the life.
Surely. And I don't want to tell. I mean, here we are talking about it on the podcast. So I don't want to tell people to how to respond. Watch reality TV. Right. Sure. But I personally watch reality TV almost as if it is scripted. Like, yes, to an extent, it is these people's real lives. Yes, Jen Shah is in a real prison. I do understand real things happen on reality TV. But I think that people that sign up for reality TV know that they are there to put on a show. So they are willing to... you know, blur the lines of what reality is and what showmanship is. And like Whitney, for instance, I think Whitney does not act in real life with her real friends how she does on this show. And
for like everyone's sake, I hope not. Yeah.
She can't. Like, she can't. I just assume she cannot. So with that thinking, if Monica was our friend and like hanging out at a dinner at TGI Fridays, whatever, with us, do I think she would be putting it online? But she was working for someone who was actively abusing employees, who was on reality TV herself. So I think maybe if I was in that situation, my phone would be out too. I don't know.
Like, what do you want her to do?
Right.
And I think it's funny, too, because the whole fan thing is another thing. Like, it sets a bad precedent for housewives going forward. I'm like, worse than Vicky Gunvalson, like, fucking a guy who faked cancer. Like, I feel like that was a bad, like, Ramona Singer just hard R-ing it around. Yeah. That's a bad fucking precedent. Like, there are bad things that happen on these shows. Diana Jenkins was... a cast member for a year. There's a guy that's out here allegedly, in my opinion, faking dementia to get out of horrific crime. So I'm just saying the precedent of like what, like that you or I, Donnie, could be one day become housewives. Like,
right.
What do they mean by that? I just don't, what is the precedent? I don't get it
either. And this was clearly like a one-time thing. There is such a casting group. Like, there are probably 10 casting agents that have to talk to these women before they are on the shows. And I think Monica got through because of her connection to Jen Shah. She was an FBI informant, for God's sake. So, like, that is why she got on. If she was just a normal troll account, she would have never made it this far. And no one will again. No precedent has been set.
there's no precedent. And there's and like exactly like you're saying, there's a process. I said this on Twitter. I was like, you guys know that like there's an actual process that goes into casting. They aren't just throwing people that have an account willy-nilly. And even if they knew, which I don't care if they knew, they made a great decision because that was a great season of television. Yeah. And it's like they take the people that they cast is the most miserable, dramatic ass bitch you've ever known, the most frustrating bitch that you know in your life. Even if that maybe I'm that person, the most tiresome woman. And they take that person and they cast them and they usually clean these people up a bit to be presentable on television. And that's what we get presented with Housewives.
Right.
They did a great job, in my opinion.
I agree.
In my opinion. And it doesn't mean that they're setting it up. That's another thing I'm about tired of hearing. Like I think production wanted to keep their jobs, like the freelance producers wanted to keep their jobs for another year. Okay. Yeah. So they were like, let's get someone that's like kind of interesting. She has a crazy mom and she ratted out Jen Shaw. That's perfect. It's perfect casting.
And even if they knew, and I've seen a lot of stuff, maybe I believe it, I'm not sure, that the women knew for longer than we are led to believe as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, I do too. But some people are like, you're wearing a tinfoil hat. I don't care. Then I'll wear it. I don't care.
And be cute about it.
So I do think production and the women knew for a lot longer than we were led to believe in this episode. But again, who cares? Reality TV. Let's focus on the TV part. We're here watching a show. We're here watching television. My first priority is to be entertained. So if they knew for 6 months, they planned this finale perfectly. I don't care if they knew for 6 years.
I don't either. Yeah. The only thing, and the thing is too, like Monica doesn't care. Like she does not care. Mm-mm. So I don't know like what if Monica, maybe I could see an argument if after this she was like, you guys ambushed me and I just can't, like that's not her vibe. Maybe she changes it up at the reunion, but right now that is not her vibe. She's like, oh no, like I knew this was going to come out. Like, fuck them anyway. I hate all of them. And
did you watch? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Did you watch her Instagram live after the episode?
Yes. Yeah, so I tuned in to about 10 minutes before the first pause. And then I came back about 10 minutes after the first pause. And then I actually fell asleep to the dulcet sounds of Monica and Dana just living their best lives. But what I kind of missed a lot. Did you get like some juicy tidbits?
So someone asked her if she knew going into this dinner that this was happening. And she said she knew once she got to Bermuda. She said she knew that Heather knew before the trip, which means the phone call was bullshit. But again, in terms of storytelling, we needed it. So I do not care. Okay. But she said that Heather knew going into the trip. So then Monica told production once she got there and said, I don't know what these women have planned, but there will be an ambush some point during this trip against me. So I want you to know so you can do whatever you need to do.
Yeah, that's such a good theory, too. Yeah. And I believe that maybe Heather didn't know for maybe several months, but I think that she knew very close, maybe a month or so before the trip, because the whole time, the way that she acts on the trip, the way that she is speaking on the trip is so, it's so specific. I don't know. I like scripted seems like a word that would be obvious, but like when they flash back to her and Whitney and they're talking and Whitney's like, isn't it crazy that that call came right before? And Heather goes, it is suspicious for sure. Like, Whitney, just talking like that. What are you doing? And I thought it was weird when I saw it the first time. And then on the beach and she's like, girl, don't say that. I'm like,
yeah, you wouldn't make a fake account and message yourself.
Yeah, like, right.
Heather, please.
Don't do that. Girl, you know. And Monica knows. Okay.
Yeah. And there were a lot of people on Twitter that were saying like, well, no, that means these women had to be acting and faking it for so long. But we know they can because the first half of this dinner dinner when they're playing that doll game and like, Heather, this looks great. Heather, this is wonderful. Thanks for dinner. They're acting like they don't know anything then. And then we get that flashback to the beach to show they knew all that time. And then suddenly Whitney can't sit next to her anymore. Right. So Whitney could sit next to her for that first hour, which means she could pretend to be her friend the first half of the trip.
And also, again, this franchise, when it came to fruition, the biggest criticism was that they were acting like how housewives were supposed to act, or what a stereotypical parody of a housewife would be. These bitches have been doing this shit. Listen, the only person that I think is probably the exact same as we see her on TV in real life is Mariam Cosby. The only person. Because you cannot sustain like that level of chaos and delusion unless it's built into you. I truly believe that. All the rest of these women, like you said earlier, they're not exactly this way. And Meredith, I just have to say, when she, again, this is allegedly, in my opinion, you know, whatever, when she started coming down was when she got like the, what I would describe as like, you get like hangxiety and everything is like amplified, and I feel like she was coming down from whatever the hell she'd been on when she got on that beach, and I think that was the spawn of her like dramatic outburst, like the emotion and everything. Like she was like, oh, someone get her a Xanax. But the rest of them were just like, oh, and Lisa talking to Heather. Mother, you're crying. Oh my God. Oh my God, I'm crying. Wait, I'm like, bitch, shut the hell up and let this lady talk for a second. Damn.
Yeah.
A mess. A mess.
It was.
So, but a fun mess. And then.
So good.
And so then we kind of get out of the people's reaction and we kind of have to talk about the reaction of. Because now we have a new character, Tanisha, who spoke her piece. And I'm going to keep it 100. I only was tuned into about like half of what she said. And I really wanted to be engaged. But the whole time I was thinking, all of you guys were plotting like this. Every single person was plotting. So if you're trying to, I don't believe you. If she's coming on here and being like, Monica's a liar. Duh. We already know that. What do you want to say? Did you watch any of, because Tanisha went live as well.
I didn't see her live. I saw her stories.
Oh, right. No, it was, you're right. It was stories. Okay. It wasn't live. But I was too preoccupied in Monica land. So did you pick up anything from those?
Basically, it's so hard to see who is. I think everyone is lying, just like you said. There is no one person telling the truth. So Tanisha was trying to get like logistics against Monica. Like Monica said, Tanisha started the account. So then Tanisha would post a screen cap of Monica saying like, girl, let's start this account to prove that Monica started it. Like a lot of, she said this, so I'm going to prove her wrong. Mm-hmm. Besides that, it wasn't really anything. It wasn't beneficial because it was all, she was still involved. And then Monica started doing the same thing to Tanisha. So Tanisha would post that screen cap. And then Monica said, well, 2 days before Tanisha said this to me. So it's just a lot of back and forth. Just put Tanisha on next season with
just,
Monica.
Yeah, just cast her. Like, I don't, Donnie, I don't give a fuck about this account. I don't think, I can't remember who said it because I have listened to podcasts, but like Mary Cosby in real life has said worse shit to these women than like anything that was said on these accounts. So I cannot comprehend giving a fuck. And I don't understand when people do. I'm like, why? No. Why do you care? I don't get it. I don't get it. What was said? Is there stuff that we're not seeing?
No, I think people just want to be upset by something. So I think they, for whatever reason, they like Heather, they like Meredith. So now that someone comes against them, they can't be nuanced about it. Like they can't put themselves on both sides. They're just like, I'm team whoever. I'm team Meredith. So someone crossed Meredith, they crossed me. Okay, girl, whatever. Like, that's fine. The Yeah, if that's how you want to do it, fine. The women, I think, are not okay with it because, and this is just all like where my mind goes. I don't know if this is true, but because it was such a Gossip Girl situation, I feel like they submitted stuff against Jen and each other to the account. So Monica probably has in DM somewhere a DM from Meredith talking about Lisa, a DM from Lisa talking about Heather, like all these things. And if they can discredit Monica and say like, oh, this girl's nuts, get this bitch off the show, blah, 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 then when these DMs come out, it won't be a big deal because we already said Monica's a crazy girl.
No, ladies, because the way that you reacted to this is only like that is if I'm to believe that. And I believe that some of it was a genuine reaction because I think that some of it was out of fear. Like,
yes.
The hysterics and the crying and the Heather being like, you've been bullying us for months. I'm like, so you said some shit, didn't you, girl? Like, and Monica's not going to say, you know, oh, well, all of them submitted shit, because then it's going to be like a back and forth and then she's not going to have the power. It's going to, you know, like, I think she's a little strategic, obviously.
Me too, because that's what I think is in that burn book she brings to the reunion.
Yes.
I think she's going to have a page for each woman. This is what you sent in.
Yes. Oh, my God. If it's not that, I'm going to be disappointed in my girl.
Me too.
I'm going to be so disappointed. Donnie, the last thing that I want to catch up on, and I thought about making us both little dolls, but I just didn't have the time. Okay. I didn't have time to make the tiny dolls. But I was going to give you like very like cunty eyebrows, like very.
Oh,
like,
thank you.
Attitude giving eyebrows.
Yeah, little pipe cleaners.
Yes. Do you have any unsolved mysteries or unanswered questions that are still burning for you from this episode going forward?
I would just, and I don't think we'll ever find out, because I think these women are going to pretend that the phone call is what changed it all. And everybody was in the dark until the phone call and then the meeting on the beach. But I want to know how long everyone really knew, because if they were informed on the beach and then an hour or so later they go to the dinner, Meredith all of a sudden knows, 3 years ago you were in my store with blonde hair when the thing was shoplifted. So how long did you know that, Meredith? Because right. You were either sitting on it for 2 years or what?
Right. And like, it seems like if they didn't already know, then a good time for her to have brought up that piece of information would have been when all the women were coming for her. When it was, you know what I'm saying? Like when they're at the in the cave and everyone's like, we're sick of this from you, Meredith. And it was, I mean, Monica very clearly was like, oh, yeah, no, Meredith told me all of this stuff.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that have been the ideal time for you to be like, girl, you're not who you say you are, because I saw you. I know if that was the only piece of information she had, I'm just saying that would have made more sense for her to do it then. Right.
Yeah, I agree. And Lisa, and I don't know if Lisa got this information from Heather or if this is something she knew on her own either, but Lisa does the same thing with like, you used to sit in Jen's driveway. So if you knew that, how come you never said this? This whole season you were coming after Monica.
Yep. And I mean, if you guys were all, if you guys were like, I don't know how the fuck the rest of this season's going to go, but we're going to have a banger finale. And they were in rehearsals, dress rehearsals, tech, all of that for the past few weeks. Hey, I'm not going to be mad about it because it was a great show. However, there's something missing. There's a lot missing. Like, oh, one thing, and I would love your input on this because I took to Reddit, but I didn't really get the responses I was looking for. They keep saying that, and Lisa especially says, like, you were doing drive-bys of Jen's house. And I can't put that in a context that means something to me. Because to me, when I think of a drive-by, I'm thinking of like a very violent situation, obviously. And but the only other meaning, if we're not talking about violence, would be like driving by to like peep her house or, you know, whatever. But she would be doing that because she's friends with her. And even if she does some shady shit, like, oh, look at this bitch's house, like, tacky as usual, it was just between her and the group message. So what is a drive-by? Mm-hmm. Why is that significant to me? What does that have to do with me?
Right. I know Tanisha posted a video that Monica sent her when they were friends still, and like running the account together, where she was like in a babushka as like a disguise, and she filmed a video saying like, I'm in a disguise, I'm spying on Jen. And then there were like pictures too of Jen's house with like arrows pointing towards windows, and we're like, this person is Jen. And now I don't understand why she would have to do this, but I do think this is what Lisa is talking about, okay, that she was like doing these stakeouts on Jen's house. But Monica was employed by Jen, and she was friends with Koa, who was employed by Jen. So like, they were already in her house. I don't know why sitting across the street was important.
I don't either. I mean, I will tell you something that I've learned about Monica this year. She... Mm-hmm. Loves a fucking disguise. Okay. She loves a cosplay. She loves a dress up moment. So for all I know, she could have been in scarf mode for some other reason and then just like transitioned. And, you know, maybe that's like, maybe the pictures, maybe that was the thing. Like, this is her real house. This isn't the house that they show on the show. Like, maybe that's what that was. But again, like, what's wrong with that? It is kind of weird. And then right. I found out valuable information through that most of these women rent houses, or a lot of the women rent houses for the show. So, and that I found that to be very insightful. So actually, thank you, Monica, for your weird stakeout situation.
Yeah. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service. Oh, my God. And then, of course, a lot of people are talking about the card switch at the, what you were talking about earlier at the perfume for the dead shipwreck store or whatever. What?
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, well, she switched cards. Yeah. It sounds like she did. I don't know. I don't know why. Like, I don't know. That's one of the lesser important TBDs for me. I don't know about you.
She definitely switched cards, but I mean, she is a housewife, but we also know she's not the wealthiest one in this cast. Right. We know that she uses food stamps. So like, for her card to have been declined, it meant nothing to me. There have been times when I went to a store and card number one was declined, so I used a different one.
Seriously. Same for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like people were trying to say it was like something more. I'm like, no, she's broke, I think. That's right. Kind of her whole story, right?
The mystery solved. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And I guess the only there was one more thing and I should have written it down.
I want to know, and this will give you time to think, I want to know what word Whitney made Heather take out of the book, because when they're talking about that chapter, Heather is like, and I read it to you, and the word you wanted me to take out, I took out. So I want to know what word it is.
I bet it was like vulva. I bet it was like, oh, something.
Yeah.
I bet it was something. Just, I don't know. Heather gives me vulva. She gives me, she would say that in some sort of,
she wouldn't say butthole.
Oh, girl. Oh, God. What a mess. I want to know. And I really want to know the timeline, and I know I keep harping on this, but I want to know the timeline of exactly which medications and when Meredith took them, because she was giving withdrawal on the plane because she was like shivering and stuff, and that's like when stuff leaves your body, but then she's slurring the rest of the trip,
the whole time. Yeah,
the whole time. So I'm very interested to see honestly, I just want to know if we're ever going to like address that, if we're just going to be like, oh, well, it's not heroin, so I guess it's cool.
I feel like if this show goes on long enough, we will address it. even if it's just production addressing it. You know, like the little ways we get Beverly Hills, like zooming in on Sutton's alcohol in the yes. background and stuff.
Yeah.
Even if these women are all protecting each other, I do think there will come a point when production is like, well, we're not a part of that. We'll
right.
zoom in yeah. on this empty Tylenol bottle with no labels in the background.
Yeah. I guess that actually leads me to my biggest question is what do they know? And I think that what you said, that they all submitted things to this account, I mm-hmm. think that that's a very solid theory that I had not thought about. And then because Monica says, oh, yeah, because like Angie, what the hell? What's going on with her is what I want to know, because she was the only one who was genuinely shocked. And I was watching her like a hawk. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, this lady doesn't know what the hell is going on.
They left her in the dirt. Yeah,
they really did.
But then why didn't she have a credit card at that perfume store?
That's a good question. So, yeah, did they plan it? But also, like, Angie, I don't posit to know what the hell goes on in that woman's head. No, she probably just forgot.
That's true. You're right.
But I mean, that's not to say I'm not like that. I'm above thinking that she would have pulled something like that, because and, Heather would have done that. Yeah.
True. And one doesn't necessarily mean the other.
Right.
I think Angie could have been left in the dark about reality Vontees and everything that was going to happen on the beach. But Heather could have said, don't bring your credit card when we go shopping today. And Angie said, okay.
Yeah. Like, sounds good. She didn't ask any questions. She's like, I never want to leave Bermuda. Like, girl, you're crazy. Oh, my God. Did you have any final thoughts about this episode? Anything else that you are wondering, want to get off your chest, or just thinking about in these leading up? Because now we're in leading up to the reunion days.
I cannot wait for the reunion, first of all. Right. I don't think I have any other thoughts on the episodes themselves. I saw on Twitter one more. I used a lot of our Twitter talk to be negative. So there was a drag queen I just saw before signing into this recording. A drag queen had the newspaper that Monica has in her photo shoot that says, like, the bridges I've burned are whatever behind me. So she has that thing, and then she rips it away, and she's dressed as Monica, and then she sings Rumors by Lindsay Lohan. And I was like, how did you do this turnaround in less than 48 hours? And it's like intercut with Heather saying, like, the woman you know as Monica is reality Vontees. It's so good.
Okay, you have to send that to me. Because when I was watching it, and I wanted to, I keep forgetting to post it, but I used to be a burlesque co-producer of a troupe here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And the whole time I was like, what a great theme for a night of like Housewives recreations. And it was like having someone come and do a Dita Vontees routine in that lineup would be so fun. Or even just recreating this season of Salt Lake City, if we weren't broader about it, would be so fun. And I was going to post about it, but it sounds like someone's already got it covered, so I don't have to do any work. But really, and it's so funny, because I am not a fan of Dita Vontees. I am not a fan of hers. Just because, like, she contributes to, like, harmful body image in the burlesque community is kind of exactly opposite of what burlesque should be. It should be very body inclusive and diverse. And she's not that. And she also doesn't perform her own routines anymore. And she has, like, a lot of stage hands helping her with her peeling. I don't know why I'm going on this rant. I'm just saying I'm not a fan. And
anyway. It ties into what we're talking about.
It does. But I haven't thought so positively of her until the other day, is what I'm saying. Now, did you
see what she posted?
Oh, yeah, because of Monica using her picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she didn't send an actual cease and desist, right? Oh, she didn't send a cease and desist. Okay, cool. I do have one more question, and then I'll let you go. I know you're ready to go. What do you think about Monica for next season? Like, do you think that she should or shouldn't come back? Do you think that production's going to tell her not to come back? Like, what is your prediction?
I would love if she came back. I also understand the power that housewives have. And if none of them want to hang out with her, we'll be in a tough spot, because that's basically what's happening on Potomac. Like, yes, their bodies are all there, but if Giselle's not talking to Wendy and Wendy's not talking to Candace and blah, 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 or whoever, we don't get any scenes. So I'm afraid that that is the direction we could go if Monica comes back. But after the reunion, Whitney started following Monica again on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like with enough money, these women would say like, okay, yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah, I do too. I think Heather's full of shit when she's like, I'm not gonna, like, yes, you will. Because the same way that we have the Monica stands out here being like, mother, she ate whatever. Mm-hmm. People are doing the same thing for Heather, like thanking her for the season, which I think is some a bit of a stretch. Think everybody pulled their weight. Okay.
I agree.
But with her like acting and all of that, she now knows that the drama unhinged shit gets her attention. And if there's one thing Heather Gay wants, it's fucking attention from Bravo.
Yeah.
So like, agreed, she's gonna do whatever it takes. But I think I would, unlike say Raquel on Vanderpump Rules, I think it would make sense. I would understand why production would say maybe not a good idea to bring Monica back. Whereas with Raquel, I was like, no, you got to bring her back. She's got to go back.
Yeah.
So I would understand from a production standpoint, like maybe this was too much, or she was doing too much, or she said or knew too much to bring her back. But I think that would be also kind of dumb and they need to bring her back. But whether Monica wants to deal with it, it's a good question. I don't know. I think it'd be pretty iconic if she was one and done, but also no one has said that. So,
right. I think she would come back, especially knowing that she's out here with credit cards that decline. Like, mama needs some money. I do think she would return. And I think the difference with this and Vanderpump Rules is there is still a story. There's not a story to be told without her in terms of this story. Like, right. If she doesn't come back, there is no fallout. There was that account. The woman who ran it is gone. Let's just be friends again. Whereas without Raquel, we still have Ariana and Tom. We still have all the friends, how they feel about Tom. There's still a story to be told without her.
There's still the
her.
Sandwich
but shop. Exactly. But I think without Monica, this storyline's over completely.
I agree. So if they know what's good for them and they don't want to suffer the atrocities of what they put on TV for us last season, okay, then they will bring Ms. Monica Darnell Fowler Garcia Car Wash back, okay? They will do it.
They will have to.
Donnie, thank you so much for joining me. This was such a pleasure. I'm so glad that we were both in hysterics on Twitter at the same time talking about how are we going to talk Me about too. This on a pod. Would you please tell everybody where they can find you?
Of course. You can follow me on all platforms at Real Donnie Wood. So that's TikTok, Letterboxd, I'm on now, Instagram, Ooh. Twitter, everything at Real Donnie Wood. And then listen to my podcast, I Am the Cute One, a nostalgia podcast, wherever you get your shows.
Yes, and I Am the Cute One features Donnie and Chelsea. If you guys do not follow Oh No Chelsea, also a great follow. Sorry for plugging your co-host when she's not here.
No, thank you.
Okay. I just have to redeem myself from the stupid fuck up from the beginning.
Oh,
so,
no.
Thank you so much. You guys know where to follow me. At WTF Knows Emily Rose on Instagram, WTFK Emily Rose on Twitter, or Emily Agogo on my personal. I love you guys, and I will talk to you guys later. Bye-bye. Wind up your waist now, wind up your waist. Yeah, you know I love it when you wind up your waist. Tell me what you